Morning. As Nikki mentioned, I'm going to be reading from two readings this morning. The first is from the book of Job. I'm going to read Job 42, 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." I'm realizing, if you're just hearing that out loud, he's at multiple points in those six lines, he's quoting God. So it's actually really confusing, I think, to hear out loud, but I'll explain. Don't worry. The second reading is Mark 10, 46 through 52. And Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. And as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. So I'm not sure what the editors of the Revised Common Lectionary were thinking when they picked these two passages to be paired for our reading this Sunday. I have guesses, and my guess is that they saw a common theme in the idea of vision, the ability to see. In the reading from Job, Job says that before he's only heard about God, but now he's actually seeing God. In the reading from Mark, the blind man Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus and approaches him to receive sight. So that makes sense. I can sort of see why they picked these two scriptures together, because they're both with a common theme of seeing, of having vision restored, of seeing God. But apart from this common theme of sight, I feel like these two stories couldn't be more different. In our reading from Job, which, by the way, the book of Job is fascinating. Even if you don't care about God or religion or any of that stuff, Job is just fascinating historically, because it's probably the earliest text that we have from the Bible. This is a truly, truly ancient text, many thousands of years old. It's one of the oldest writings we have. And in this book, towards the end, Job has challenged God on the question of theodicy. Raise your hand. You know what theodicy is? No, this is a big seminary word. Theodicy is, why do bad things happen to good people? And maybe also, why do good things happen to bad people? Why is there injustice? Why do we suffer? How can a good God allow suffering? So Job's a good man, and he's suffered a lot. Job has suffered the loss of wealth, the loss of health, the loss of children. Job suffered so much, and he demands that God explain himself. Why has God allowed this to happen? And Job is a long book, but at the very end of the book, God shows up, and God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. And God demands to know what standing Job thinks he has to ask God questions. God says, "Where were you when the world was created? Where were you when I tamed Leviathan and set the world on its foundations? And to this, of course, Job doesn't have any response because he wasn't there when God created the world. Job is a good man, and he understands that God is God and he is not. And he recognizes that he doesn't understand God. He recognizes that the things of God are far beyond him. So in the face of God's challenge, he surrenders and says, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me that I did not know. And he says, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And I find this the end of Job to be super brutal. In fact, you know, if God weren't God, I would say God's being kind of a bully at the end of Job. And I think Job takes it really well, all things considered. And it's especially a tough passage for me because it fits so well with my own experience of life, which is that I am small and I am limited and I'm out of control and I'm angry about it. I don't want to be out of control. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to lose things. I don't want bad things to happen to good people, and I especially don't want bad things to happen to me. But they do, and they will continue to. And so I ask God, why? Why have you allowed this to happen? Why do bad things keep happening to good people? So to me, the story from Mark feels very, very different than the story of Job. As far as I can tell, there's really no question of theodicy here. There's no why. Bartimaeus is not asking Jesus why God made him blind. He's not demanding answers from Jesus. He's not crying out on the side of the road saying, Jesus, give me an explanation. Instead, he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus' response to Bartimaeus is to call him to approach. And Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And so Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, teacher, let me see again. I think it's interesting, right? Because you'd think it'd be pretty obvious what he wanted. You could guess, like, this guy's clearly blind, might want to be given a sight back. But Jesus asks, which is interesting. And so Jesus says, go. Your faith has made you well. And again, interesting, Bartimaeus doesn't go. He rejoices before everyone and then follows Jesus in his triumphal procession into Jerusalem. So he sticks around. So we've got these two stories, one in which Job, a good man who has suffered unjustly, questions God about why such terrible things should happen. And God responds with his presence, which for Job is overwhelming and incomprehensible. Healing and restoration does come. It comes at the very end. But this healing only comes through darkness and terror. Now, on the other hand, we've got the story of Bartimaeus, who suffered blindness and calls out Jesus for healing and decided to restore in a miraculous display in public. And I don't know, I could be reading a little bit too much into it, but it seems like Jesus is comforting. Seems like Jesus is kind. Seems like Jesus is understanding. So both of these men see the face of God, but they see a very different kind of face. And so it's tempting to pick one face over the other, right? I don't know if any of you have seen Talladega Nights, but they get in an argument over the dinner table about which version of Jesus. They're like, well, I like the baby Jesus. The baby Jesus is the best one. Oh, no, I like the grown-up Jesus. Jesus was a man. Come on, I like the grown-up Jesus. Well, I think it's easy to pick, like, well, this particular aspect of God is the one I like. And historically, many Christians have made this mistake. Some of us have insisted that God is approachable and loving and present with us in Jesus. And in this view, God is all pure love and understanding for us. And that's true. It's true. It's a true statement about who God is. God is love. But there's more, isn't there? There's more than that about God. There have been other Christians throughout history who have said, no, actually, God isn't here to make you feel good. God is wrapped in darkness and mystery. He's so far beyond anything we can understand that we should all stand in fear of him. Fear and trembling is the right response to the presence of the creator of the cosmos, who was in the beginning, created all things, comprehends all things, and is beyond all things, far beyond where our limited understanding can possibly reach. In the presence of that kind of God, the God that the author of Hebrews calls a consuming fire, what else is there but to tremble in awe and wonder and to be humbled by his presence? So that's a true statement too. That's a true way of describing what it's like to meet the living God. But there's more than that, isn't there? God's more than just sheer mystery wrapped in darkness that leaves us trembling in awe. He's also concrete and personal and directly involved in our lives, just as Bartimaeus experienced on the road to Jerusalem. So both of these experiences of God are real, but they're really different faces. And the fact that these two true and real experiences of God are so different from one another has led a lot of good people with honest intentions to come up with some pretty terrible theology. Principal among this terrible theology, and you will hear this in a lot of churches, by the way, what I'm about to say. I did not make this up. Principal among this terrible theology is the idea that Jesus has come to save us from the wrath of God, the Father. And in this theology, Jesus becomes sort of the good cop. And God the Father is the bad cop. In this view, Jesus is here to take the beating for us so that God the Father doesn't clobber us. And when you hear our two readings this morning, you can see how we would get there, right? Like, this is not a crazy idea. You can see how you get there with God in the whirlwind talking to Job and really coming down pretty hard on Job. Who are you to question me? And then you have the God that Bartimaeus experiences in Jesus, who meets Bartimaeus where he's at and hears his plea for healing and loves him and heals him. I can forgive many Christians who fall into the trap of thinking that this healing and compassion is what Jesus is about, and that the terror and incomprehension of the cosmic depths is what the Father is about. What I can't condone is the idea that these are two different gods, and that Jesus is somehow different in character than his Father. I can't accept the idea that the God that Job experienced is different from the God that Bartimaeus experienced. But they do seem different. The experiences are so different. So what do we make of that? How do we understand the universe we live in, which is so full of God's incomprehensible majesty and terrifying beauty, while at the same time experiencing God's immanence and loving presence in the person of Jesus and in the person of other people that God has sent us and that God has inspired with the Holy Spirit? How do we reconcile these two genuine faces of God? Now here's the part where I tell you how. It's actually a real question. It's a question for us. Because I don't have an easy answer on how we reconcile these faces of God. I know you're disappointed, Louis. Exactly. Me too. Let me know. I mean, I think this is why God, through historical, through God's providence in history, God has given us this set of texts and bound them together and said, you know, these are all a bunch of different writings, but we're going to consider them as a whole. And I'm very grateful to the people who cooperated in putting these texts together and holding them together, because these very different experiences of God are things that we need to chew on and hold together and not say, no, yes, that one, but not the other one. Or yes, angry God, but no loving God. Or yes, loving God, but no angry God. What does it mean to worship a God who is majesty and glory and terrifyingly powerful, but who's also humble and loving and present and tangible and approachable? So a common theme that I do see between the story of Job and the story of Bartimaeus is that both of these men are able to approach God because they're basically humble. Each of them is open-hearted and seeking God in spirit and in truth. Unlike Job's friends, which, if you've heard the rest of the story of Job, Job's friends give him a ton of terrible advice. But unlike Job's friends, Job is not playing some kind of theological game here, where he wants to be considered correct and wants to talk all about his ideas about God. Job has experienced way too much suffering for that. He's beyond intellectual games. He doesn't want to score academic points. He wants to meet God in person, and he wants to understand. Bartimaeus is a little bit different in that we don't get any indication that he's trying to understand anything. But Bartimaeus is like Job in the sense that he's suffered and continues to suffer. And in his suffering, he's reaching out to God and asking for help. He receives that help in the person of Jesus. Now, for Job, it's the whirlwind. For Job, it's the terrifying presence of the unknowable God. Yet, even coming out of that experience, Job is blessed. And Job is vindicated. It's a surprise to me at the end of the book. God says, you know, Job had the right idea. God states at the end of the text that Job was in the right. Despite the horrifying experience of meeting a God so far beyond anything he could comprehend, Job came away blessed. And just like Bartimaeus, he came away with his sight restored. As we enter into open worship, I'd like to leave us with a few queries. And don't feel like you need to process all of them, but if one of them or more of them are sort of ringing for you, sticking out for you, maybe take that into worship with you. Have you experienced the presence of God? Have you reached out to Him in your blindness? How did He respond? What are the depths of God that you are frightened of? What are the hard truths that you need to hear? What is the suffering and trauma that you need to be healed from? What are the words that you need to hear from Jesus? Can you hear him asking you, what do you want me to do for you?